from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run, Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon.
All right, guys, we're going to fast forward a little bit. The year is 2028. Who is the biggest sports star in town? Connor Bedard, Justin Fields, a Cub outfielder, Dylan Cease, Zach LaVine, or the Bears quarterback who succeeds Fields?
Oh, wow. That didn't take long. Oh, boy. Interesting question.
I hope that it's Justin Fields. That's what I hope. But my prediction is going to be PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. So a Cubs outfielder will be the biggest star in Chicago by the year 2028.
Pete Crow Armstrong is an answer leading with your heart over your head, Dustin.
But that's a defensive.
No doubt.
He's a defensive player. But you've got to get that offense caught up to him. See what I'm saying? Like, Pete Crow Armstrong, you know, it would have been more interesting if you said, Cody Bellinger.
It's going to be good.
Gabe Ramirez, Marshall Harris here on 670 The Score, hanging out, filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run. And we are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You know, we've been talking a lot. I feel like this has been a therapy session for myself, you know, in this White Sox team. I feel like we haven't trashed the Cubs enough.
I just
looked at Sean.
I'm a therapist for a lot of different things. I could be your therapist for this if you would like
well,
me to.
Well, damn, Kylie... I don't know if I want him back on the show. He's being so damn real about these teams.
No, like, you need the realness, though. Sometimes you need the realness to, like you said, smack you in the face. That's what it is, man. I mean, you want to be optimistic when you can be optimistic.
Yeah, it's early in the season. Don't crush.
Oh, is it early?
You just said there's 120 games left. Literally, what out of your mouth you just said that?
It's getting early. Listen, it's getting late early. That's what I can tell you. It's getting late early.
Fair enough. Let's go to the phone lines. 312.
They're not gonna be any better.
644-6767. We're taking your thoughts on the Cubs and the Sox right now. Here's another dose of reality that I'm about to get. Jim and Beecher. All right, what do you think? How do you think the Sox are gonna fare by the end of the season?
They're on a pace to lose pretty close to 100 games. The reason I called was because I think it is a good thing. It needs to happen for them to, like, super bottom out, because I think everybody, a lot of the White Sox fans out there can see the chickens are coming home to roost relative to the total incompetence of this franchise. The owner... the front office, you see it on the field. The eye test doesn't lie. So having said that, there's the only glimmer of hope. You guys were talking about that earlier, is maybe once they do bottom out this year and draw maybe 1.2, 1.3 million, which is ridiculous in Chicago, that somebody can wake up the owner who's fallen asleep at the switch over the last few years, and maybe he has a change of heart and does what he should be doing as a competent owner. So, anyway.
Now, Jim, let me ask you this. Jim, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, you know, you and I are in the same state of depression when it comes to this White Sox team, but what do you think is the biggest issue, right, when you're looking at it? You said they don't pass the eye test per se. So when you're looking, and what is your eye telling you is the biggest issue for the Chicago White Sox outside of ownership?
Oh, well, okay. Ownership would be number one without a doubt, because he's letting his minions, i.e., you know, Rick Hahn and continue to run the club and maybe go for yet a third rebuild. Rick Hahn should have been jettisoned a long time ago, because the guy is Peter Principle in action in baseball. he has risen to his level of incompetence. Okay, but anyway, the eye test. I think it's a lack. I think their talent is not what a lot of people in the media. I'm not going to necessarily include you guys, but the Sox talent is not nearly as good as a lot of people seem to think it is.
Okay, fair enough, Jim. I appreciate the comment. Thanks for calling in.
Listen, I'm with Jim on some of the stuff that he said. You know, when people are like, sell the team, like that's a thing.
He's not selling the team.
It's not a thing. It's not happening.
If I was making $500 million a year, the last thing I'm doing is selling it.
So this is me, the pragmatist, letting y'all know that I can't see Mr. Reinsdorf selling the team. That's his owner.
Baby.
That's what they get to do.
Bulls are his son's baby.
Yeah, exactly. That's what gets to happen. Whatever. But I will say this. We heard a clip earlier in this show, this very hit and run show, where someone said, hold me accountable. It's my fault. Well, you know what? If things go the way that they're going at the end of the season, he won't be around for next season.
Yeah, but the thing, and here's the issue I have with that argument, right? Because, listen, okay, should Rick Hahn, you know, should we move on from Rick Hahn and bring some new life in here, fresh set of eyes, i.e. like a Ryan Pohl situation? Yeah, I think we all can agree on that. But I know a lot of people will make the argument for Rick Hahn and saying that his hands are tied in a lot of situations. And so, you know, just think about your job, whatever that might be, you, whatever you do on a daily basis. If your manager is holding you back from operating at your highest level, and then, you know, the stockholders are complaining about you in particular and you're not doing your job to the fullest potential, and you're like, but damn, it's not me. I'm being held back.
The CEO, the board of directors.
Yeah, I'm my hands are tied. You and I just watched the Air.
Yes, last night.
Last night, the Michael Jordan shoe story thing. And there was a point in the movie where they're like, hey, we need more money to give Michael Jordan.
Right.
You want Nike to be successful? We need more money. Had they not given him the money, and that's what I feel like the situation where Hahn is in, had they not given him the money, then they wouldn't have gotten Michael Jordan. And sometimes that happens. And again, I'm not trying to be an apologist. I'm just trying to be able to assess the situation fairly is what I'm trying to do. And so I feel like the easy answer is sell the team. The easy answer is Rick Hahn sucks at getting talent out there. But I think it's collective, and you touched on that earlier, Marshall, where it's not one thing. It's everything, right? It's everything. No one expected Dylan Cease to be the ace of this team. They got lucky and that happened, right? So there goes that one glimmering hope right there. Kopech, like, multiple Cy Youngs, like, what kind of pressure are you putting on a guy to, like, say that he needs to, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's everyone's involved.
I would just like Michael Kopech to stop giving up, you know, multiple home runs every game. That's my bar right now with Michael Kopech. I have different bars for everyone based on their recent performance, right? But let me give you this, because you're talking about the money and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you four payrolls.
Oh, no.
Four payrolls, right?
I hate when you got good points.
The White Sox, $186 million. You know what that ranks in baseball?
18th.
That's the 11th highest payroll in Major League Baseball, $186 million. I'm going to give you three other payrolls. This is 27, 28, and 29.
Okay.
That's the three of the bottom four teams. Because 30 is Oakland at $60 million. We know what they are.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not trying. It's $60 million. Yeah. We're trying.
Like, profit sharing is awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna jump town as soon as possible. Yeah. The next is $66 million.
Don't tell me it's like the Twins or something like that.
It's the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay, they're playing well right now.
And they're playing well.
Yeah. Flash in the pan well, though.
27 is the Pittsburgh Pirates at $75 million. Okay. They're playing well, right?
Okay. But okay.
But hold on.
Okay,
one more. At 28, the third lowest payroll in Major League Baseball, at $75 million a year.
Tampa Bay.
Hmm. It is everything, and you need to reevaluate how we're building a baseball team. And I understand what you're saying about this is a big market city, and the Sox have to stop acting like a small market team.
They are a small market team. I think that's the one thing we have to start with.
Hold on.
If you're talking about how to build a team.
But they're not that small market if they're already spending $186 million.
Right.
My point is they've got to figure out how to build a better and more efficient team from the bottom up, from the studs up.
Right. You make, I don't want to say mistakes, but you give a lot of money to Yasmani Grandal. That money comes in. The Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, you know, things. You got to pay Tim Anderson eventually. But I think the issue, right, to continue and live in that space, Marshall, is that if the Sox were to operate like a Tampa Bay Rays or a Pittsburgh Pirates, where your whole existence is based off of, you know, young talent, you know, moving on from guys as they get bigger because you're not going to pay them and working the, Chicago would not like me. We would not like that because we want names. We want to be, because we think we're still in Chicago and we're like this big market team. It's like, but the fan base and the money that comes in, it's just not the same.
One more number to give you.
Damn it.
$181 million. That's below the Sox, right? That's number 13 in Major League Baseball. Guess who that is?
Cubs.
Yes. Right. And they've got those guys that they've signed and they've got, but they've also got what? An infusion of young talent, guys who are pre-arbitration eligible, contributing.
But that's an unfair comparison because you'd have to look at the last, you know, 5 years of payroll and see where the Cubs have been at in their, you know, rebuild and where the Sox were trying to be a competitive team in certain instances. And so now we're just bearing the brunt of the back end of that, you know, along with signing
the,
like
the Cubs weren't trying to be competitive 5 years ago.
No, they were sucking 5 years ago after the World Series. After the World Series,
they didn't. You're saying they won the World Series and went Miami Marlins style and jettisoned guys.
I'm saying over the last 5 years, not 5 years specifically 5 years ago. I'm saying from 2018
to 2023. It was just the last two seasons.
My point exactly. That's built in there. In those moments, they weren't paying guys big money. And so now they were the beneficiary of having some to give to guys like Dansby Swanson and those kinds of guys. Whereas the White Sox were in it, thinking that they were doing something with that team, trying to build out a roster that they thought was going to be competitive. And to your point, though, it's a failed experiment, right? They thought they were doing something by getting guys for the low and allowing them to play at a high level, and it just didn't work out. And like that's the issue with the White Sox. So, again, because we want to be about solutions and not problems, how then would you put the Sox in a position to be a team that doesn't have $181 million payroll but is still competitive?
They can keep the $181 million payroll. It's not going to last forever. My whole thing is, can we do something about the minor leagues?
Fair.
There's no talent in the minor leagues.
So you're going to have
no talent.
Eloy.
There's not enough, because I'm real careful with my words.
Right.
There's not enough talent in the minor leagues.
Right. So you're going to have to get rid of guys that you're paying mid-level money to in order to get those guys back. So it is some sort of a blow-up thing where you're like, Eloy, go ahead. We're done with you. We don't want to pay you the rest of your money. You know, Luis Robert, you're gone too. And we need to get these minor league prospects and younger guys so the payroll's low, and then we kind of, you know, recreate the roster that is there.
I'll say this. Trade deadline's not that far away. If they're, you know, 15 games under 500 or whatever, and you're looking at the payroll table, you know how it goes, like this year, next year, what's freed up? Who's arbitration? You got to make decisions on guys, very specific decisions on guys. And here's my question. Do you trust this front office to make the right call on the right guys?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's a problem.
And that's the problem, right? So then it is sort of where I have been saying the blame needs to be on everybody. Then I think everyone needs to be held accountable, and that includes the players, that includes the management. Everyone. Big saying in Spanish, pa fuera. Everybody got to go. And then maybe that way they could reinvent themselves. Because you know what? When you're looking at teams, because we're going to hold on to the 2005 White Sox, and I'll tell you what their payroll is after the break.
Oh, my goodness, 2005 White Sox. It always goes back to that.
You know what? Your lack of respect is exactly why AJ Pierzynski was going on a rant, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about after this.
Oh,
why do the 2005 White Sox get no respect? We'll hear from AJ Pierzynski explaining a little bit of it, and then we'll get your thoughts as well. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Marshall Harris. It's Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon.
All right, guys, we're going to fast forward a little bit. The year is 2028. Who is the biggest sports star in town? Connor Bedard, Justin Fields, a Cub outfielder, Dylan Cease, Zach LaVine, or the Bears quarterback who succeeds Fields?
Oh, wow. That didn't take long. Oh, boy. Interesting question.
I hope that it's Justin Fields. That's what I hope. But my prediction is going to be PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. So a Cubs outfielder will be the biggest star in Chicago by the year 2028.
Pete Crow Armstrong is an answer leading with your heart over your head, Dustin.
But that's a defensive.
No doubt.
He's a defensive player. You've got to get that offense caught up to him. See what I'm saying? Like Pete Crow Armstrong, you know, it would have been more interesting if you said, Cody Bellinger.
That was Mullion Haw and Dustin Rhodes from Pick 6, their segment they do every single day at 6 o'clock where they do a roundtable discussion about some really good questions. And, of course, Dustin Rhodes at PCA. Like, you want to talk about Cub Homer.
That is a wild answer. I've done Pick 6. I've been on Mullion Haw.
Yeah.
That is a wild answer.
Check out his podcast as well, Fly the W, if you love, you know, Dustin Rhodes and those types of opinions. But you saw how Mullion Haw jumped on him immediately.
Like, what?
Said that. I do want to say we will get some more of the AJ conversation in the White Sox a little bit later. Josh Nelson from Sox Machine is going to be hanging out with us just after 10:40, so make sure you guys stick around for that. But I felt like this was something that was interesting. Marshall, initial thoughts when you hear that. 2028, 5 years from now, biggest Chicago athlete.
Here's what I'll say. The PCA answer is in line with my answer. I don't know because that guy's not here yet.
Yeah.
He's not currently employed and working in Chicago.
Okay, fair enough.
But if I had to guess from someone in the pool of people who are actually playing right now in Chicago, I would say Justin Fields. I'm an analytics guy, and that analytically speaking, that makes the most sense. If you're the quarterback of a football team that is going to the playoffs, you're the biggest star in that town unless somebody else is taking you to championships.
God, I hope you're right.
I hope it's Justin, right?
I mean, we all hope it's Justin.
So, but the answer of the guy that replaces Justin Fields, also very viable. We're talking about 2028. That's 5 years from now. If this is Justin Fields, last year's the starter in Chicago, which is a possibility.
Very true.
They draft a quarterback, and then he's in year four in 2028.
We're like, who will be the biggest Chicago athlete in 2028? Drake May, former quarterback for the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Nathan Peterman, come on down.
No, yeah. Don't say that, please.
So you understand what I'm saying in my logic. I'm just letting you follow my logic on that question.
I hear you.
What's your answer?
I know. Of course, I want it to be Justin Fields. But, yeah, I think it's silly to say anybody else other than that. Because then you're just, like, you sound like an idiot, you know? If you're like, oh, Pete Armstrong's not even up yet. You know what I mean? Connor Bedard hasn't played, you know, 1 minute on the ice, hasn't been on the ice for 1 minute. But that would probably be my, if I were to say somebody.
You say Connor Bedard?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Connor Bedard is not the biggest star in the city unless Connor Bedard is leading the Blackhawks deep into the playoffs, the playoffs.
And 5 years from now, that would probably be the case because it's not going to be like this year or next year. You figure by year three, because I do have faith in the Blackhawks organization to put together a championship caliber team.
You have faith in them to do some things, not everything,
not
some
things. Better than some teams here in Chicago, I'll tell you that.
Okay, so Connor Bedard, I literally believe he would have to be in the Stanley Cup final to be the biggest star in town.
Yeah, it's easy.
But I don't know, in 5 years, can he be in the Stanley Cup final?
You weren't in Chicago when the Blackhawks were winning championships. I was in the
building when the Blackhawks won one of their championships against the Flyers. I was in the Wells Fargo Center.
Philadelphia.
Okay. In overtime,
well,
yeah.
See? But I'm telling you, here, it was as if the Blackhawks were the Chicago Bears, like, in 85, 86.
That's because the Bears stink.
No. I'm saying, like,
they were terrible in that time.
Yeah, right. And the Bears might be terrible in 5 years if the Justin Fields experiment doesn't work. Feel free to text in 312-644-6767. So that way we can hear what you have to say. You know, of course, I would love to lean Zach LaVine, you know, 5 years, but his ass might not be on the team in 5 years either.
How old will Zach LaVine be in 5 years? That's
32,
a better.
32?
What?
32, 33? Right in his prime. He's still young. He's like what? He's like 27 right now, right?
Yeah, he's 28. So
28,
right,
so 33, yeah.
So 33. So that would be like your window to be like at your full, the body has caught up. I'm sorry, LeBron the mind James, has caught up with the body.
If LeBron James and Bronny are on the Bulls in 5 years.
Wow.
And the Bulls are doing something. I mean, listen, somebody's going to take them.
So LeBron could be the biggest star in 5 years.
Damn.
That's all I just heard.
A 43-year-old LeBron James, the biggest star. What does that say about Chicago sports? I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Marshall Harris from CBS2. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run. The question that was asked by Mullion Haw, and we're kind of just throwing around
since it is Hit and Run, let's just narrow it down to baseball. And tell me who you think is going to be
Dylan
the biggest
Cease.
Star.
If we're just talking baseball, Dylan Cease.
So Dylan
because in baseball, pitchers can be consistent for a long period of time, especially once they figure it out. And if he can have the desire to be, you know, the ace for the White Sox for the next 5 years, then you could easily seeing him be like a, you know, a Verlander type, or a, you know, someone that, that, you know, that's consistently, you know, to get 200 strikeouts, you know, a sub three ERA, and you know, so to where by that time the legend of Dylan Cease has grown so much that he is the most consistent player on both sides of town. So I could see it being.
Everyone's going to be wearing mustaches in 5 years, you think?
No, but it'll be a, what, because things change in every, have cyclical things, right? So it'll be clean-shaven Dylan Cease.
You see
know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's why that's not going to happen. I hate to be that dude.
But don't say no, it's not going to happen unless you're throwing a name out there in baseball.
I'm going to throw a name out there.
Who?
Scott Boras. That'll be the name I'll throw out there.
the biggest.
He's an undrafted free agent in 2026 is Dylan Cease. The White Sox aren't paying for Dylan. Unless you know something I know about the White Sox spending habits.
Hey, so what, they're going to trade him in a couple years? Anyway, like I said, don't poo-poo on my name unless you throw somebody out there.
I'll throw out another name in 5 years.
In baseball. Just baseball, you said.
In baseball.
Since we're hit and run.
It's tough because I don't know who's going to be here for the
Nobody
White Sox.
Nobody does.
For the
Luis,
White Sox.
Luis Robert Jr.
That, you know what? That's got a better chance. But I find a hard time believing he'd be the biggest name in the city.
Well, we're just talking baseball.
I know.
Keep moving the finish line.
You're right.
Well, baseball.
Luis Robert Jr. is probably my guy. Luis Robert Jr. is probably my guy.
Watch this. Sean Sears, producer extraordinaire, 5 years from right now, who's going to be the baseball name only.
Okay.
Baseball name. Biggest Chicago athlete in baseball.
So he'll be 36 at this point, so it makes perfect sense for the White Sox to go sign Aaron Judge at that point, right? He's actually under contract. I think still under 5 years from now.
Oh,
that's
God.
The guy. No, he signed a very 20, large contract.
Like a 20-year contract.
Both in length and in monetary value.
Yeah. He's going to retire a Yankee now. I'm just giving you a hard time. No, honestly, I actually agree with Dustin. I think Pete Crow Armstrong might be the biggest name. If we're talking Cubs, honestly, the guy, he's already the best defender in the minors. He's won the Golden Glove of minors so far.
Yeah, but you got Gold Glovers.
That's
on
like
the
saying
team.
Aaron Rowan's going to be the biggest name. When
sure, but the other side of this too, though, is PCA. Like, he OPS'd over 1,000 at both low A and double A last year. He's still hitting the ball, and he started to develop power. So this is a kid that I think, like, you got to remember, the Mets drafted him, and he was hurt. He never played. I think he played maybe like 7 games in their system, came to the Cubs and immediately started hitting. And he's made those adjustments. So I think a lot of people are focusing on that defense. I actually think he's going to be a good offensive player too. He's crazy fast. Fits exactly what the Cubs are looking for in their system right now.
He'll be 26 in 5 years.
Damn.
So I see you. I just think
you're putting a lot on the potential
as opposed to what we've seen so far.
And you're saying that he's going to be better than Luis Robert Jr. in 5 years.
I think he might be.
Stop it.
Okay, I take issue.
And I like Luis Robert. I think he's one of the few guys
Mully
in
and
Chicago
Hall literally
that's a
just,
5-tool player.
Mully Hall literally was just like, this guy got no offense. And Luis Robert's literally
he's leaning on
five homers
his 1,000 OPS at
in
low
the minors.
Level minors. Not high minors, low level minors.
Now you got Sean Sears worked up.
High A and double A. The guy just keeps hitting. It's been impressive.
Okay. Hey, you know what? Everyone's entitled to their opinion on this fictitious
even if it's wrong.
Discussion. Even if it's wrong. Somebody from 773 said Justin Steele. So you could see. And
could
guys
see
wheeling and dealing. From 815 said Chris Morel.
I could see Christopher Morel too. It was perfect because Kylie was talking about it. And that's the whole thing. Like the swing and miss.
Yeah.
Like if he gets that down, that's a problem for pitchers.
He has so much power. And he's just so good.
He has so much everything.
Morel sucks one. Right center field. Way back. This is long. Some insurance in the top of the line.
He kind of has that Javi Baez kind of swing and connect kind of a vibe to him.
He makes you want to watch more baseball.
Yeah, Javi,
and there's
Javi Baez.
There's not a lot of guys out there currently who are like, I need to watch more of this guy.
I wish he would come out and say what position he wanted to play consistently every day. Just say it.
That man just wants to play.
I know
that's what he says.
And I get that, right? And I get that, but I wish...
Why?
He would just...
Because
if we're having the conversation from the 815 saying that he's going to be the best guy in 5 years, I would like a little bit of ownership there from him.
You would like to put a position on him?
I would like him. I like confident guys, right? That's why I like a guy like Matt Mervis. I like guys that talk crap and back it up.
I think Christopher Morel is very confident. He just understands the team dynamic and understands, yo, I had to start the season in Iowa. I don't want to go back to Iowa. That's where Christopher Morel is at. So I'm going to say all the right things while also being joyous in everything that I get to do.
Get me in the door. Right?
Exactly.
That's what it is. All right. We are going to ask our next guest who he thinks will be the best baseball player for either team in 5 years. Josh Nelson from the Sox Machine is going to be hanging out with us. What does he have to say about that question? And why does the 2005 White Sox get no respect? We'll find out on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, Marshall Harris here on Hit and Run, filling in for Matt Spiegel on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Score.
Hit and Run Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon.
Robert's success is coming from his plate discipline. His chases are down. He's getting good pitches to hit. He's seeing the ball really well. He took some good pitches today. You know, you got to be okay taking pitches, and he's working on it. You know, he's doing a good job. So if he stays in the strike zone, he's gonna do some damage.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. It's Gabe Ramirez, Marshall Harris filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. That was Pedro Grifol talking about the recent success of Luis Robert Jr., who you said would be the best baseball player on either side of town in the next 5 years. We get to ask that question to our next guest as well. Joining us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. From Sox Machine, he's our guy, our resident here. Of course, we're talking about Josh Nelson. Josh, in 5 years, who's going to be the best baseball player on either side of town?
I'm going to go with Pete Crow Armstrong of the Chicago Cubs. He's their number one prospect. He is lining it up in AA, and he's progressing really well. I wasn't skeptical, but I was a bit doubtful, and I think a lot of people were in that particular Major League Baseball draft, if Pete could hit. And I think Pete Crow Armstrong has proven already in the minor leagues that he can, and he has elite speed, and he's got elite defensive ability. That's my pick in the next 5 years, because the top three prospects for the Chicago White Sox have yet to play a game this year because they're all hurt. So it's kind of hard to forecast the White Sox next 5 years. But for Chicago baseball in general, my pick would be Pete Crow Armstrong.
I went with Dylan Cease, Marshall Harris.
He won't be here.
That's exactly what Marshall said. I said, "Damn, all right, fine."
Yeah, that did not take a lot of logic to see that he would not be here. Like I said, you said give you a name. I said I got a name for you, Scott Boris.
That's just fair enough, right there.
And so I said Luis Robert Jr. And I don't know, man. I really don't know. We're all just throwing stuff against the wall. I see the Pete Crow Armstrong. I just don't know if the offense is going to be there to the level where you're going to say he's the biggest star in the city. I also, my overall belief on this question, whether it's baseball or sports in general in Chicago, is that guy's not here yet, which falls kind of in the Pete Crow Armstrong thing. But I also believe a free agent could be here. Somebody else could be here, whether it's football, whether it's basketball.
Or yeah, for the- absolutely. I mean, you have the Major League Baseball draft coming in July. It may be coming from this year's draft class. This is one of the strongest Major League Baseball draft classes that we have seen in a decade. So maybe that future star is coming. We just don't know who it is for either the Cubs or White Sox until July.
Well, we know the White Sox are on track to have a pretty high pick.
For next year.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't like these chuckles. I got to be honest, guys. This is not,
it is
not
what it is.
Josh, look, you know me, and this is not making me feel good right now.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you only have two options, laughing or crying, and I decide to laugh.
Fair enough.
I mean, this series so far against the Astros, Dylan Cease pitched really well, and he needed to bounce back. And in his two starts against the defending world champions, Dylan Cease has looked like a Cy Young, guys. Now, in his other starts, he has not. So I'm curious to see on what happens for Dylan Cease moving forward. But the White Sox have a chance here to bounce back from a very ugly series at Kansas City. And they got Lucas Giolito on the mound today. And he's been pitching excellent at home this year. He's got a 1.37 ERA at Guaranteed Rate Field. The question will be, can the White Sox offensive bullpen support Giolito enough to pull off a series win? And not just a series win, but for the White Sox, who are currently 14-27, would win the season series against the Astros if they could win today.
And that'll be awesome. And you mentioned, you know, Giolito's successes of late. And his last, you know, six starts, he's gone at least six innings, so he's been able to stay on the bump. What do you think that a recent success is can be attributed to? I mean, because he's still striking out guys at a high rate as well.
Yeah, I think it's the fastball. And the slider is better than Show Me Now. So the slider has taken a pretty big step forward in the development and becoming a more effective pitch for Lucas Giolito, especially when he throws high sliders. Now, that's a bit odd as far as the technique, because if you watch like Dylan Cease, he likes to throw his sliders. He likes to spike them low and away against hitters. And he tries to tunnel his fastball to be in the lower part of the zone. For Giolito, the more he works up in the zone, the more effective he is, especially with the fastball and slider. And sometimes it just looks like the slider's more of a cut fastball coming out of Giolito's hand, especially when you watch his slider the next day after Dylan Cease. Like, the RPM difference is gigantic between Cease and Giolito. Cease gets way more spin on his slider than Lucas Giolito. But this has been a very effective pitch. And then Giolito could throw high changeups, which you'll hear Steve Stone on broadcast or here on 670 The Score always saying that's a pretty dangerous pitch to throw against opposing hitters. But the way that he's working up in the zone, the fastball velocity is back. Giolito's now averaging 93 miles per hour with his four-seam fastball in each of his starts this year. That is a great sign, especially last year when we saw him at 91, 92. And that 1 mile, 2 mile per hour difference is huge for Lucas Giolito as he tries to get more separation and speed between his fastball and changeup. Everything is working for Giolito. He's attacking hitters. Over 50% of his pitches are in the strike zone, which is a lot different than when you look at the other White Sox starters and how they're performing in 2023. He's just been really effective. I mean, this reminds me of the Giolito that we saw, guys, from 2019 to 2021. And come August 1st, I would be shocked if Lucas Giolito is still in a White Sox uniform. I have to imagine every team in the American League East is already texting Rick Hahn about Lucas Giolito. And then the Atlanta Braves, and especially the Braves, the Tampa Bay Rays, because the Rays may lose Drew Rasmussen for the rest of the season. And there's some question marks about Max Fried so far at the beginning of this season. Former ex-high school teammate of Lucas Giolito out in Harvard Westlake out in California. The Braves and Rays are the two best teams in the league, and they will have needs to help solidify their starting pitching. So the way that Giolito's been pitching, the way that the White Sox overall team has been performing, Giolito's going to be on a new team come August.
Wow. I mean, That's not great news if you're a White Sox fan, because
that lines up with what we've been talking about this whole show.
Well, I've said, like, yo, you got to make decisions on guys, and if you know you're not bringing guys back, get what you can get for them, whether they're a season away from being a free agent or a season and a half away from being a free agent. Look, he's the only guy on the staff with an ERA under 4. Cease is next, but then you look at the other end of the spectrum. You said Giolito's doing everything right. Lance Lynn can't seem to get anything right as of late. What do you see going on with Lance?
So my partner Jim Margulis pointed out earlier this week on Bernstein and Holmes that when he's in the stretch, opposing hitters are hitting over 400.
That's not good.
Against Lance Lynn. No, that's not good. So that makes what's happening to Lance Lynn is that he is a victim of the big inning. And again, if he walks the leadoff hitter and opposing hitters are hitting over 400 when he's in the stretch, yeah, all of a sudden he's going to allow a big inning. But if he could stay in the windup, he's got a chance to pose zeros. And that's just the way his starts have gone this year, where in his last start, he gives up four runs against the Kansas City Royals in the first inning. And you're thinking he's not going to make it out of three. And then all of a sudden, here he is in the fifth inning. And he's able to put up some zeros on the scoreboard and put some solid innings. He's just such a huge victim right now to the big innings that he's got to have to figure out on how to avoid base runners, or he needs to make a mechanical change when he's in the stretch because he's getting hurt when there's runners on base. And that's like the worst situation that you want to get hurt as a starting pitcher. And he's been digging the White Sox a hole way too often. If the White Sox guys had more dependable starting pitching depth, especially in AAA, and they don't, but if they did, we would be having the conversation, would the White Sox DFA Lance Lynn like they did with Dallas Keuchel last year?
Wow.
Because Lance Lynn just has a $1 million contract buyout after this season. It's an $18 million club option for the 2024 season. I'm sorry, the White Sox would not be picking up that option, even with all the starting pitching issues that they have and the lack of depth. It just does not make sense to pay a 38-year-old Lance Lynn, who currently has an ERA above 7, I believe, for the 2023 season, that type of money. No, you'd rather take that $18 million and go sign another starter or try to sign a couple other starters to fill out the rotation and take your chances there. So he has to pitch a lot better, and it's just not a matter of getting the White Sox back on track this year. It's a matter to Lance Lynn as a professional athlete. How much more do you have left in the tank? If you still think you could be a major league caliber pitcher, not just this year, but in the next year or two, you got to bounce back, man, because every team is paying attention to this. And if you do not improve throughout this 2023 season, you are going to be hurt when the White Sox decide to buy out your contract for $1 million. And here you are as a free agent wishing someone gives you a spring training invite in February because every team doubts your ability to become a starting pitcher. Lance Lynn puts a lot on him, especially in post-game press conferences when he doesn't perform well. But he needs to stop talking the talk and he needs to start walking the walk. He's got to show some type of life in the next month, or there's going to be some really hard questions about his future as a major league pitcher moving forward.
His ERA 7.51. So yes, well over seven.
Well over seven.
I just want to, like, we could talk about the White Sox starting pitching all day, but I do want to talk about Tim Anderson real quick, just because in the big picture, not just like what's going on right now. He had three hits in the win yesterday, but he's coming up on a contract year next season. They're punching club options this year and next year can be done. Is there a thought that, you know, you need to move him and get what you can get in terms of starting a rebuild for the Sox? Or are they just going to let this play out and he can just walk away as an unrestricted free agent?
So while I think the two top players that teams will want before the trade deadline from the White Sox right now is Lucas Giolito and Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly has been performing really well as of late for the White Sox. And there are some teams like the Texas Rangers that really could use some bullpen help. But the most intriguing trade candidate this year is Tim Anderson. And I bring that up because the Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers are hurting at the shortstop position. They don't have solid options at that particular position. Both the Braves and Dodgers, I give them credit for being the most creative when it comes to pulling off trades. They are able to pull off trades with teams for guys that you didn't even think were available. And I've got this sneaking suspicion that Tim Anderson could be a target for either of these teams. Because as to your point, not only does he help them for the rest of this season, I think it's a $12.5 million option for next year. And it's a $14.5 million option the year after. So it's a $27 million contract as far as club options over the next 2 years for Tim Anderson. Man, teams are paying $27-plus million for their starting shortstops right now each season. So for the Braves and Dodgers, they may look at this as a way to improve at the shortstop position in the short term. While they are very prospect-heavy, both organizations, those young shortstops are not ready right now to help them win the World Series. And the Braves and Dodgers are two teams that are strong enough to win the World Series this year. So that's the one guy that I'm wondering, if the Braves and Dodgers call, how much will Rick Hahn listen seriously to those offers?
I think you have to, because, like you said, it's 12.5 this year. It's a $14 million option for next year. And then he's at if you're not doing anything as a White Sox team, you're well below 500, and you can get prospects to help load up the next wave.
Then you get Yoan Moncada to play short, put Berger at third. You know, they have options in those spaces. Josh, I appreciate you hanging out with us today, man. Happy Mother's Day to you and yours. And hopefully you enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and hopefully the Sox can get that series victory today versus the Astros.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Of course, Josh Nelson, make sure you guys follow him. Of course, he's always here on Bernstein and Holmes, hanging out with the guys, talking Sox. SoxMachine_Josh. That's where you can follow him on Twitter. Make sure you guys do that. All right. Coming up next, we got Russell Dorsey joining the show. He had an opportunity to see the Cubs up close and personal as he was doing his Friday Night Baseball with Apple TV. What was that like for him, and what does he think about the Chicago Cubs team? We'll find out on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Marshall Harris right here on Hit and Run, filling in for Matt Spiegel on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.